no one else has, so that you can leave an imprint on people's lives that no one else can. You know, one of the ways in which you and I are identified throughout the world is by our fingerprint, because it's unique. It's a fingerprint nobody else has. And that little saying I shared at the beginning of my message basically illustrates the reality of that uniqueness. And one of the reasons why God made each one of us unique is because we're special. He wanted us to be unique, but also that we might leave a unique touch in everybody's life. And over these past few weeks, I've been reflecting with you on what that looks like in terms of our heart, our time, and our talent. And today, I'm going to be speaking about treasure. So if this is the one day you go to church, you shouldn't be going saying to other people, well, that's all that guy talks about is money. This is the one day I talk about money out of the whole year, guaranteed, really. So just so you know, you come back next week, you won't be hearing about it, just to be clear about that. And so today we have the story of Zacchaeus. Very interesting story. This is a guy who's a tax collector who's also rich. A lot of IRS jokes I could tell right now, but I won't go there. I don't have enough time. But the reality is that he wanted to see Jesus. Now, we don't know why he wanted to see Jesus. He knew he was going to be passing by that way. But we just know for some reason he wanted to. Wonderful story about being short and needing to climb a tree in order to see the Lord. But it just spoke about his tenacity and his desire to see Jesus Christ, to see him pass by. You know, it's an interesting story, isn't it? This whole crowd is around the Lord. He's busy walking along his way. Zacchaeus is up in a tree, and I've often wondered, what was it that moved the Lord to look up at that moment and to ask Zacchaeus to basically invite him to his home because he needed to spend some time with him? But I believe there's a reason for that. This is my own conjecture. It's not in the scripture, but it's what touched my heart. How would the Lord know that? And I believe it's because the Lord is drawn to people that are drawn to him. Now, let me just say, I believe the Lord's drawn to everybody. The Lord loves everybody. The Lord wants to reach out and love to them. But that's one of the reasons I think he just knew Zacchaeus was up a tree for him. Zacchaeus wanted to see him that day. And you know what? The Lord wanted to see Zacchaeus. And so the most amazing thing happened in that moment that Jesus said, hey, how about if I come to your house? Well, I want to spend some time with you, basically. And Zacchaeus was just overwhelmed. One of the other things amazing about this story is that Jesus comes into Zacchaeus' house. And, you know, people start to grumble. And what they're grumbling about is everybody knows Zacchaeus in the town. They know he's a tax collector. They know that he's rich. And most importantly, they know he's a sinner, which, by the way, everybody in this town is a sinner. But for some reason, people tend to want to gang up on the worst sinner in the town and kind of feel better about themselves by doing that, right? Still goes on today. But it's interesting what happens in this story. As Jesus is in Zacchaeus' house, as all of these people are grumbling about the Lord being in Zacchaeus' house because, oh, God forbid, he's a sinner. Why would the Lord want to go and be with sinners? Zacchaeus says something very, very interesting. It just is like out of the blue, but it's very appropriate. What does he say? He says, here and now, I will give half of my possessions to the poor. Now, again, this was a rich guy. And some of you may be saying, well, it's easy for a person who's rich to give half of their possessions to the poor. Let me just say, some of the people that I've known that have been rich, that wouldn't necessarily be the case. Okay? Not for all of them. Some of them are incredibly generous, like some of the people here in this church. But some of the rich people I've known, the last thing they would do in their life would be give half of their possessions to the poor. That just would not happen. And so it's interesting to me that Zacchaeus, one of the first things out of his mouth when Jesus is in his house, and Jesus hasn't said anything about money. He's not on the pledge campaign for his church. He's not doing every member canvas, and Zacchaeus happens to be on the list, right? You can go all down the wicket there. That's not it. But Zacchaeus is moved in his heart and says, you know what, I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And then he goes on to say, I will give four times back of whatever I cheated anybody, I'll give them four times back. Now, I'm guessing that he didn't cheat anybody. But again, this was just an incredible, generous, spontaneous thing that came out of Zacchaeus' heart when Jesus was in his house. And so I want to just reflect with you on this just a moment. Something happens when Jesus comes into our house. Something happens. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. Something happened to Zacchaeus. And what happened to Zacchaeus was the Spirit of the Lord touched his heart and moved him in an incredible way. We know earlier in the story he wanted to see Jesus. He just wanted to get a glance at him. And lo and behold, Jesus ends up coming to his house of all things. It was like beyond Zacchaeus' wildest dreams. And what's happening with Zacchaeus? He's excited. He's caught up in the moment. And the Holy Spirit is moving on him. That's what's happening. What's happening in this situation, in the stewardship of Zacchaeus' life, is that he is being a faithful steward to the Lord in the area of his finances. And oh, by the way, he's not giving 10%. It's 40%. And he's willing to give back four times whatever he may have taken from somebody in stealing from them. Now, I'm not saying to you today that you have to give 40%. Or 50. Yeah, we'll stay at 10, okay? I'll stay with the scriptures. But take a moment to take a step back from this one, because it's easy for you and I to hear this story and just let it go in one ear and out the other and not realize what's happening in the moment. And that is God's Spirit is moving on Zacchaeus, and something very beautiful is happening. And the beautiful thing that's happening is Zacchaeus' heart is being moved by Jesus to do something extravagant, to do something beyond the pale, and it's beautiful to the Lord. In fact, how does the Lord respond to this? What the Lord says to everybody present there is, today what salvation has come to this house, and that Zacchaeus too is a son of Abraham. Now here's this guy who's not a Jew. That's why Jesus says he is also a son of Abraham. He had to add that in for all the Jews that were around, because he's offending all the Jews about this when he's saying this. But what he's saying to them is that he's a son of Abraham because he has allowed the Spirit of God to move in his heart. He's invited me into his home, even though I invited myself. He said, yes, you can come in. And then his response is saying yes to God's Spirit as it moves on him. See? And the way God's Spirit is moving on him is touching him in the area of his finances, is touching him in the area of his wealth. See? And how beautiful this is. How incredible this is. And you can tell, you know, it's interesting when you look at the words of the Lord, you know, there are times where in the scriptures where Jesus is pretty upset, and you can tell. This is not one of these times. I can tell, can't you, when you read these words, Jesus is happy. Jesus is excited. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he is too a son of Abraham. I can just see Jesus smiling when he said this. It wasn't because he was going to give 40% to the poor. It wasn't because he was going to give four times to anybody who would have cheated. It was just that Zacchaeus was saying yes to God's Spirit and saying yes to Jesus and opening up his heart to him and doing it in this way. And he blessed God's heart. He blessed the Lord's heart. And Jesus was excited about this. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. That's, by the way, he answers everybody's grumblings that he knows what everybody's thinking and saying to themselves about how upset they are. Why did he go to the house of this sinner? Oh, let me tell you at the end now why I came here. It's because that's my whole intention. That's the whole purpose of my ministry, is to seek out and to save those who are lost. That's the whole reason for my ministry. And guess what? That's the reason for your ministry and for my ministry as well, is to seek out and to save those who are lost, to share the good news with them. It really is good news. We hear enough bad news already. People need to hear good news that the Lord loves them, that the Lord cares about them, and the Lord died on the cross for their sins and rose from the dead and is ready and willing to invite them on the most exciting journey in their life, whatever their age and whatever they're going through. And so as I'm talking a little bit about treasure here today, this is my invitation to you and me. Make this moment a Zacchaeus moment for you. As you think about the treasure of your life, as you look at the scriptures, thank you, Lord. You do not ask for 40%. but the Lord asks for 10%. In terms of a tithe. And as you look at the scripture, throughout the scripture in the Old and the New Testament, that 10% was a first fruit. And what that means is that was supposed to be the first offering that you gave out of what came into your life. Now, invariably, I've had this conversation a lot with people since I've been a priest now for 35 years, and even before that. It's like, well, Father Joe, it's hard for me to give even what little I give already. I got this bill, I got that bill, and I know the story. I've been there myself. But you see, as you look at the scriptures, the 10% is supposed to be a first fruit. It's supposed to be it's actually supposed to be the first thing that you give before you start spending on everything else. And again, I remember when I started tithing in college when Jan and I were married, and we felt very clearly like the Lord was speaking to us, you know what, I want you to start tithing. And we just kind of both laughed as we were praying about this. You want us to start tithing? The couple that rubs two quarters together at the end of the week, the couple that breaks the Snicker bars in half so we can share dessert with each other, you want us to start tithing? And you know, when God speaks to you, a lot of times when God speaks to you, it's very clear. It's not an option. It's a call. It's a call. Yeah, I want you to begin to tithe. And let me just say, in that moment, we made that step of faith. There were ups and downs with it over time, but it was one of the most important and most grace decisions we've made. And been tithers all the way through, and God has blessed that abundantly. Are we all the way there yet? Absolutely not. But it certainly has been a blessing in our lives. And, you know, the reality, let me just say to you, though, for those of you here today who maybe aren't at 10% yet, and you're saying to yourself, well, Father Joe, I may never get there, and I understand that. Maybe you're at 2%, maybe you're at 5%, I don't know. Let me just say this. If you're not tithing, there's never a good time to start. Did you hear that? There's never a good time to start. There's always an excuse. You always have an excuse. I know, because I was there. I've heard them all. God's heard them all. And ultimately, you know why that is? Because tithing is like this call in our life. It's a step of faith. It'll always be a step of faith. And you know, there are scriptures that talk about the blessing of tithing and the blessing of giving to God. But you really can't experience that until you step out in faith. And this is not the prosperity message. This is not name it, claim it. This is not give to God so God will give back to you, although that's exactly what will happen. That's been my experience in life. It could be a financial blessing. It could be a relational blessing. But what it is, it's honoring God with your first fruits. And as you and I give that 10% tithe to God, what we're saying to God is that everything I have in my life is a gift from you. My next breath, my relationships, my financial blessings, my spiritual blessings, the place that I live, my ups and downs, everything that I have in my life is a gift from you. And so you see, that first fruit is that 10% gift is simply an acknowledgement that the 100% belongs to God. That's what that means. It's not, oh, God gets 10%, and I get to keep 90%. That's not what the tithe means. The tithe means when you give 10%, and it's acknowledgement that God has given you 100%. You understand that? That's a different understanding, and that's the acknowledgement that you and I give to God. So, as you look at your pledge card, maybe some of you have already filled it out. if you didn't receive one, there are some in the narthex along with an envelope. You'll notice, again, over this past month, I've talked about heart, time, talent, and treasure at the very end. On the pledge card at the top is the piece about the treasure, and below that are time and talent as well. And so again, one of the things I shared at the very beginning of this message is the truth about the fingerprint of your life. Each one of you will uniquely touch other people in your life in a way that nobody else can. You will do that with your heart. You'll do that with your time. You'll do that with your talent. And you'll do that, hopefully, with your treasure as well. And one of the most important things that you and I can do with the fingerprint of our lives is, like Zacchaeus, invite Jesus into your house. Invite him to come in this area of the stewardship of your life. And like Zacchaeus, be open to the way in which God's Holy Spirit will affect you. I want to challenge you along with me a little bit later on today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the day after that. Don't wait for this to wear off. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't wait for this message to wear off. In fact, take this bulletin home with you, read about the Zacchaeus story, and then invite Jesus into your home and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about your treasure, about your talent, about your time, and about your heart. And allow the Holy Spirit to move on you. Allow yourself to let go a little bit. Like Zacchaeus, who let go actually a lot. Allow yourself to be moved by the Spirit of God and be excited in faith and begin to dream the dream that Jesus has for you. It is bigger. It is greater. It is more miraculous. It is more phenomenal. It is more exciting. It is more daring than you and I can even begin to imagine. In closing, I'll leave you with one final thought. I remember visiting a friend up north when I was with Food for the Poor, Tom Hayes, who I went to seminary with. He was a retired pilot out of Pan Am who became a priest later in life. As Tom and I were sharing a meal Saturday night when I got there, he shared with me a story about his family, how they had needed a financial healing. Now, here's a guy who had done very well in his life, was financially well off as a pilot, retired, and all that stuff. But again, it doesn't matter sometimes how much money you have, but how you manage that money or how it manages you sometimes. And so he shared with me about how he needed a financial healing in his life. And he went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I need a financial healing in my life. Things aren't working out well for me financially, and I just don't have a peace in my life about my finances." And so he said how he and his wife began to pray about that and asked the Lord to begin to minister to him and guide and lead him in a financial healing in his life. And what he said is he began to move more toward tithing, and he began to listen to God's Spirit in his life in terms of what he needed to do financially and specific decisions he needed to make. And he said with a big smile on his face that as God brought healing into his life financially, it was one of the greatest moments in his life. And he felt free. He felt like a burden had been lifted from him. And he felt like his relationship with the Lord was closer than ever before. And so I want to encourage you along with me in this final message on the stewardship of our life, of our heart, of our time, of our talent, and our treasure, that we might be open to the healing presence of Jesus in our home. And the excitement, and the joy, and the change that he wants to bring to each one of us. So Lord, closing in prayer here today, I pray for each one of us that are in this place. And Lord, what I want to pray for us in this moment is that we would have a Zacchaeus experience with you. That as we invite you into our home, the home of our heart, that like Zacchaeus, we would be open to your Holy Spirit moving upon us, that we would be extravagant, that we would be open to doing something that would be actually look kind of crazy to us right now. So out of the box, so not us, but something, oh yes, something that would bring a smile to your face and laughter to your heart. Lord, move us in that kind of stewardship. Move us in that kind of love for you. For we ask it in your name. Amen.